Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity once again. God bless you all and welcome to the program. And today we're going through the book of Luke, and we're in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The woman with the disability, the spirit of infirmity controlling her life, and how Jesus liberates her. So look forward to this program, and we welcome you to the broadcast yet again. Get out your Bibles, pens, and notebooks as we study God's Word. It's John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. So before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your glorious wisdom of your glorious word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins. And today we're going to learn about Jesus. And Lord, glorify your Son through the power of your Holy Ghost. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at the passage. And I'm using the ESV, so it doesn't say a spirit of infirmity. It says a spirit of disability. So slightly different from the other translations, but it's a good translation. Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. Now he, that is Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, there's a lot of points here. There's a lot of different ways we can look at this. So let's just start at the beginning and go along through. So here's Jesus. He's teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He's a Bible teacher. He's a rabbi. He's in his element there, teaching on the Sabbath. He's teaching out of God's word. And people are wondering at the gracious words coming from his lips. And there was a woman there who had a need. And he stopped his teaching and addressed the need straight in front of him. And that's the need of this woman who would be a disabling spirit. She'd had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over. She could not fully straighten herself. Most people would look at that person, a woman bent over, disabled for 18 years, and see them as kind of a nuisance. Oh, a lot of people would, not most. Some people would see her as a bit of a nuisance, just an old lady there, bent over, hurt. And the disability was caused by the devil. This particular disability was a bondage of Satan, and we learn that later on. We learn that in verse 16, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound for 18 years. She is Jewish. She's a daughter of Abraham. She's coming into the inheritance that God has planned for her, and she should not be bound by the devil. And do you know what? There's believers out there who are bound by the devil. Their lives are bent over. They're infirm. Their infirmity mightn't be physically bent over, but they're bent over with anxiety. They're bent over with depression. They're bent over with all sorts of things going wrong in their life and a financial curses upon them or this. And they're bent over and they're unable to worship God. They're unable to raise their hands in prayer. They're unable to lift their hearts up to the Lord. their life is being marred by illness after illness, after disability after disability, situation after situation, and a devil, a demon, has got control of their body or their finances or whatever it is, and their life is being afflicted. A spirit of affliction, a spirit of infirmity has laid hold of them, and we don't know why, and Jesus doesn't even ask why. He gets rid of the demon. There is no reason for a demon to have any authority over the life of a Christian believer, because the blood of Jesus Christ has set us free. But we have to fight for that freedom. We have to use spiritual warfare. We have to pray for one another. We have to lay hands on one another so that we might be healed, as it says in James in 5:16 to 18, that passage on healing there, and other passages as it talks there in the book of James. It says, "Let call for the elders and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise up the one who was sick and be healed. Confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed." So where does the faith come from? The faith doesn't come from the disabled person. The faith comes from the elders. It's the faith of the one praying that delivers the person who's sick. And we see this with Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. Here is the lame man. He doesn't have any faith for healing. He's just looking to them for money. He's not expecting healing at all. He says, "Listen to us," or "look at us." And they say, "In the name of silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he does. He's surprised that he would be healed. He was astonished. The lame man had no faith for healing. He had faith in God. He had faith in them. He was expecting something from them, but he wasn't expecting healing. But he got healed. It's the faith of the people praying that matters. And so Jesus was able to heal everybody. He healed lots of people, people who probably had very, very little faith, but they came to him and he healed them because he was the one with the great faith. And we see Peter walking the streets of Jerusalem so that even his shadow would fall upon people and heal them. And he had great faith. He was anointed. He was in the middle of a revival. And everywhere he went, people were getting healed and the demons were coming out of them left, right, and center. So it's our faith that does the healing. This woman was bent over. She hadn't even asked for prayer. She was just there and Jesus could see her, and his faith was activated. His power was released and she was healed in a mighty and glorious way. And there are many, many Christians who need to be healed. They need us to fight for them. They need us to pray for them. They need to confess their sins. They need to be healed. They need the anointing of oil. They need the laying on of hands. And we are to minister healing to the afflicted. And when this woman was healed, God was glorified. Do you want to see God glorified? I'm sure you do. Then heal the sick. Go out and pray for them, especially if you're a pastor, an elder, or a deacon. Go and pray for the sick and deliver them from their infirmities. They can be delivered. And you know what? We'd say this person had a stronghold. We'd say this person couldn't be healed because it was 18 years. It had gone on and on and on, and probably people had tried to cure her. And they said, well, that's her. She's just bent over. And they label her. They see that's her status. That's her thing in life. 18 years of being bent over double, unable to straighten up, unable to do anything because a demon was inside her. And people thought, it's a disease, it's a nerve thing, it's this, it's that. But it was a demon. And the demon needed to be cast out, and Jesus got rid of that demon by laying hands on the woman. And this daughter of Abraham, this person who should have been free from all diseases by the covenant, because there's a covenant there in the Old Testament that liberates us from disease if we are obedient to God. This person was being afflicted. This person had disease laid on her by the devil. Do not let the devil lay disease on your family. Do not let that happen. Call in Jesus. Call in the mighty angels. Call in the men and women of God and be set free by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross. Because it's obvious when you look at Scripture that Jesus is merciful, that Jesus is gracious. When he sees sick people, he heals them out of his great love for humanity. Jesus loves the lost, the helpless, the poor, and the afflicted. And he wants them to have miracles in their life and to say it was Jesus who set me free. It was Jesus whose blood was applied to my heart and my mind. When I was bent over, when I was afflicted, when I was going astray, it was Jesus who saved me. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He declared the healing before that healing happened. Jesus often declares the healing before the healing happens. When Jesus was praying at the grave of Lazarus in John chapter 11, he says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." He thanked God for the miracle before the miracle happened. And then he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." So we thank God before the miracle happens. And here Jesus is saying, you are freed. And then he lays hands on her. And she is freed visibly. She was freed spiritually by the word of Jesus Christ. And then she was freed physically as he laid hands on her. And we have to believe that it's happening. We have to believe that we are receiving the things that God has prepared for us, things that eye has not seen, ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man. They are ours through Jesus Christ. And they are ours through the blood. And we claim them before we can see them. We believe in them before they manifest. And so here was Jesus saying that she was going to be healed. You are freed. And then she was freed. And he laid his hands on her. And laying her hands on hands is a very important part of healing process. Jesus does it often. So we find that in this case, he lays his hand on her. Power comes out of him and drives the demon out of her body. And immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Now, don't we want our lives to be made straight? We don't want all those crooked bits. We don't want all those painful bits. We want God to straighten up our circumstances. And we pray this often. I have a ministry called Saber Missions. And that's my ministry, this radio program, Insights for Eternity, is part of it. And I want God to straighten up Saber Missions. I'd like God to make it a mighty, great work of God around the world. And so I would like to be released from the things that sometimes afflict my ministry. And you will have things that you need to be released from as well. You want things to be straightened out. And God is the God of righteousness. And the righteousness just means straight things. He is Yahweh Tzedek. He is the God of straight, righteous, and good things. And he will deliver you. He will straighten up the things that need to be straightened up. But the ruler of the synagogue became indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Now, there's a religious spirit out there that hates healing, and we see it all the time. No, that was for the old times. That was for the book of Acts. That was for this or that or the other. Healing doesn't happen today. There's a lot of religious people who hate healing because they can't do it, or at least they don't believe that they can do it. All they know is their tradition, their worship services, their way of doing things, and they want to stick with that. They don't want all the disturbance that the Holy Ghost brings. And the Holy Ghost does cause disturbance. I speak in tongues. Some people don't like the fact that I speak in tongues. I pray for healing, and sometimes I see it, and people are disturbed by that because they want an intellectual gospel, a gospel of ideas, and a gospel that appeals to people who are very smart. And the gospel should appeal to people who are very smart because God is very smart. That is fine for them to want that. But there is more than that. There is a gospel of mercy, a gospel of compassion, a gospel of action. And the religious people don't want that. They want their control. They want to control their church and everything that happens in it. And they want to be the top dog. And so Jesus has been invited along and they go, "Oh, great. A lot of people will come to church today because Jesus is here." But as soon as Jesus starts to do anything, they're indignant. Isn't that true? We invite Jesus into our church, and as soon as Jesus starts to save people, we get indignant. How dare that person over there from the bikie gang or the drug addict or this or that, how dare this person with a criminal background or an immoral background or a woman who looks like this or dresses like that get saved? When Jesus starts doing things, what happens? The religious people get indignant. And we are to oppose that. We are to realize that these people have their own agenda with their own power. We're not to take any notice of them. And we are to celebrate what Jesus does. And we find that at the end. As he said all these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. We need to reject legalism. We need to reject control. We need to reject the idea that God has to do things in our time and on our program. And so Jesus was healing with on the Sabbath, and it caused all sorts of consternation. So what is Jesus' reply to them? He says, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan is bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So he points out the inconsistency in their behavior, but he says something else. He says that compassion is important. It's important to have compassion on an ox or a donkey and to liberate it and take it to water. And it's important to liberate people. It's much more important to liberate people and to take them to living water. Jesus is about liberating us from bondages. He has compassion. He doesn't want anyone in any bondage. He doesn't want anyone in the bondage of drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual addiction, all kinds of criminal behavior. He doesn't want people in the bondage of depression. He doesn't want people in the bondage of mental illness. He doesn't want people bound up by demons in some aspect of their life so that their behavior is disorderly and their lives are ruined. He does not want anyone in bondage. Jesus is compassionate. God is compassionate, and God is long-suffering toward us in all that we do. So here, people matter most. Let's write that down. People matter most. Not oxes, not donkeys, not church rituals, not the dignity of the synagogue official. All those things are secondary to people being set free. And I want you to say to yourself, I am here on planet Earth to set people free. If you're a Christian believer, if you're listening to this program, why are you on planet Earth? To set people free. First of all, you need to be set free by salvation. And then you need to free yourself by reading the Bible and praying and getting all the junk out of your life. And then when you're ready, you need to go out and set other people free. You need to pray for their salvation. You need to see them saved. You need to free them by filling them with the Holy Ghost, praying for their illnesses, driving the demons out of them, and setting them free. And come out, you filthy demon. Set them free from all the filthy demons in their life, their mind, and their heart. Your job on this planet isn't to make money, though if God blesses you with money, that's fine. But if you're a believer and you want to be set free, you need to start setting other people free, having compassion on those who are broken, those who are bound, those who are afflicted. And your job is to do what Jesus did and to go out and carry out his greater works, John 14:12, and to set people free in your house, your village, your church, your neighborhood, and in your family. We are not to leave people bound up in their sin and their misery and their sicknesses. We are to be agents of powerful change for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan puts people in bondage, but Jesus sets them free. And Jesus saw this woman who had no dignity in the eyes of the world, and he gave her a great miracle. He gave her life back. He gave her a dignity back. And the people that wanted her to stay in bondage, the religious people, he put them to shame. And if people are running around trying to keep you in bondage or keep your family in bondage or keep you in ways and forms that are not appropriate, you need to stand up and say, I will be set free. My family will be set free. I will pray. I will fast. I will work on breaking this bondage off their life. You will not let the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of disability, control you or control the members of your family. So here we find that Jesus uses a comparison between the ox and the donkey going to water and people being liberated. They're being untied from their place and set free, not just to go and drink water, but to drink living water. And you're to bring the people in your life to the living water. Well, what happens when people are freed? So, well, we find this lady glorified God. When people are healed, when people are set free, they glorify God. They are a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are able to serve God much more effectively. So, for instance, when Legion was set free from all his demons, he became a witness, and many people in the Decapolis believed. He was healthy, he was sound, he could walk about, he could share things because his health had been restored. He was able to engage in ministry. He was able to engage in the things that mattered. And you, when your family is set free, when you are set free, you'll be able to glorify God, and your mind will work, your muscles will work, your life will work, and you'll be able to share the gospel in your neighborhood and perhaps one day around the world as God gives you the ability to do so. So we need to set people free. Why? So they can glorify God. And we find soon the whole synagogue is glorifying God. She glorifies it. She starts off the process. But everyone in the synagogue is saying, wow, it's great. This woman's free. We knew her. Knew her for 18 years. She was in our community, bent over. And now Jesus came to our synagogue. Jesus came to us. Jesus set this woman free. And they glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to do as well. So, my cat's crying in the background here, so I hope it doesn't come through the mic. Anyway, we need to be people of liberation. Now, let's go across to 1 John 3, verse 8. It's a key verse in the New Testament, a little bit further along. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So what's Jesus doing? He's destroying the works of the devil. The devil places people in bondage and Jesus heals them. So we need to take people out of the bondage that the Satan has put on them, and we need to destroy the works of the devil. That's part of your job, is to undo the things that Satan has been doing. He has built fortresses of idolatry, fortresses of demon possession, fortresses of crime. He has all these places and things that he has set up, and that you, as a believer, you need to get out there and destroy the works of the devil in your neighborhood, just as Jesus was liberating people from the works of the devil there in that synagogue, wherever it was. It might probably up somewhere in Galilee. We don't know where that synagogue was. But we know that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and we are to do greater works than he did. We're to destroy more of the works of the devil than Jesus did in his time, because there's more of us and the apostles, etc. And we can do social justice. We can do many things that tear down the kingdom of darkness. So you and I are to be liberators. Liberators from spirits of infirmity, from disability, from demons, from crime, from sin, and death, and hell. We're to be people who proclaim the gospel around the world. We're to do the things that Jesus did. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and the devil has been sinning from the beginning. He's been rebelling against God from the beginning. And whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. So if we continue sinning, and if we allow people to continue sinning, those kind of people that encourage sin and they give more alcohol to drunks and so on and so forth, those people are of the devil. We don't want to do that. We want to encourage righteousness. We want to encourage truth. We want to encourage people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are seeing a great work of God in our day. We're seeing many revivals in our day. And after we've had the revival, after people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we need to liberate them further. We need to fill them with the Holy Ghost, and we need to get all the demons out of them. We need to burn all the witchcraft books. We need to get rid of things that hold on to demons in people's lives and hearts and minds. And after we've done all that, we are to set them free from their disabilities and their illnesses. We're to pray for their healing, and we're to restore them to the image of God. And that's what happened with this water, with this woman who was a daughter of Abraham. She was restored to full function. As she was restored to full function and her body was restored to full function, she received hope. She received joy. She rejoiced in God. And many people saw her rejoicing and said, that's great. That's God. Jesus has turned up in our midst. So here we see part of God's program. We see God's program for human liberation, for human dignity, for compassion on the afflicted. And that is your calling. You are to have a program for salvation, for human dignity, for compassion, for setting people free, for praying for the sick, and doing all the things that God has called you to do to set people free in your town and in your area. Let us be people of freedom, not of bondage and not of religious control. So we don't want satanic bondage. We don't want spirits taking control of people anymore. We don't want people bound by the devil in customs of old things and idolatry and sin and all the rest. We want to get rid of all the bondages. We want to set people free. We want to be people of the gospel that liberates people, not into religious bondages, not into demonic spirits, but into the grace and healing and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot in this passage, and we are looking to God. We are looking to God for miracles. We're looking to God to change lives all around the world, and that's our calling, that's your calling, that's my calling, because we're all called to do the works of God in our own sphere and our own life. So go to God, cry out to God and say, how can I set people free? And he'll give you a task. It mightn't be healing the sick. It might be some other task. You might set people free from depression. You might set people free who are trapped in bad marriages and give them good counsel so that their marriages can be repaired. You're going to set people free because that's God's agenda for your life. So move in the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't move in your own reason. Move in the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn around, rise up, say, Lord Jesus, use me to set people free from all the bondages that the devil has put on them. Lord Jesus, use me to set people free from all the bondages that the devil has put on them. And this is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. And we'll see you next week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.